your passion just shifted.
Yeah. And, you know, and it did shift, and it was kind of off-brand. I mean, to go from a fireman to a podcaster was a huge shift. But at the same time, it was always about trying to make a difference in people's lives. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I'm your guest, Bob Ruff, and sitting across from me is our host today, Stacey Carlin.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Hustlin' in Heels podcast.
No space
that
time.
Doesn't that sound so much nicer?
It really does. When I said Hustlin' in Heels, it didn't
roll off
the tongue.
There's something about the music stopping at the intro and then her saying, hey, everybody, every time. And it's like, it's actually really well done. And you're kind of messing that up, Bob.
Thank
she
you.
She made me do it. I see it's going to be. It's going to be 3-on-1. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys better get some more boys for this fight.
That sweet voice you hear over there is Mr. Michael Bussing. He is our executive producer and the one that's coming to my aid.
Yes.
Tonight. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we got other people here too, right?
Sup? What's up, Haley?
What's up?
This is going to be such a shit show because, and I, the worst part is that I know it's because of me.
It is.
I'm going to make it
into
a total.
You have thrown us off. That's
such a shit show.
I'm in a different chair.
Right. I stole Stacey's chair.
I don't know why I thought, like in my mind before we came in here, that you would be composed and quiet until they introduced you and just like follow the format of the show.
Okay.
You know their format.
I'm quiet now. Stacey, go right ahead with your format. Talk about the wine.
Oh,
let's talk about the wine next. I've got a great idea. We should talk about the wine.
We should talk about the wine. We are drinking a local wine tonight as well. So from 12 Corners Vineyard, we have their Pinot Noir, their 2016, that Bob has been trying to drink for the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
At least 3 weeks.
At least. And we had to put a sticky note on there that said, Bob, don't drink this wine.
Because we kind of thought he was kidding, but then we're like, what if he's not kidding and he actually drinks our wine?
Right.
But if we label it, then he won't drink it.
I thought about it a couple times. But what I find amusing is that it was stored in here for a month with a sign that said, Bob, don't drink. And then it finally gets open and who's drinking it?
Bob.
Bob's drinking it.
Right.
Irony.
It was all part of the plan.
I still get my way.
Because we are planners and we do plan ahead.
Yeah. So we really did mean for you to drink this wine. So how is it, Bobby?
It's good. It's a nice red. Is this a 2017? I can't tell.
2016.
It's a 2016. It was a little more tannin in the 16.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct. That is correct. We believe
I don't
that.
Even know what that means.
No. What does that mean, Bob?
And there's a beer.
And
are we talking Arizona tannin or what kind of?
I don't know what tannin is, but I know it's something that's in
is
wine.
Is that like a thing? Like, yeah, it's a wine thing.
That's a thing, right? I got that right.
I have no idea.
That is correct.
Right. I just drink the wine. You guys don't know your
wine.
I
was an official wine pourer for an entire day, so I believe that is true.
Yeah, it's a little more tannin in the 16.
Yeah. So obviously we have boys in our studio tonight. Technically their studio, pretty much ours. So the whole family's together tonight. We have the owner, the founder of NBI Studios, Mr. Bob Ruff, here with us tonight. And then we also have our executive producer here with us tonight. And we thought we would sit down with them, drink some nice wine. Then Bob cracked open a Bud Light. I guess we're doing that shit too tonight. And just talk a little bit about what they do and what the other side of NBI Studios is all about. So that's why we're here tonight, right?
Did you know? Fun fact. Tannin adds both bitterness and astringency to wine.
I noticed the astringency.
Because it's naturally occurring, some word found in plants.
Hmm.
So, nice. You're right.
It was the astringency that got my attention.
Thank you, Google.
Mm-hmm. Is it astringency?
Can you also look up astringency?
Oh, sure.
I'm kidding. You don't.
sure.
But don't give her a task that involves actual work and Googling. She'll be right on
I will do it.
Yes. And she'll provide you a color-coded copy.
I will.
On Post-it.
All the particular synonyms to go along with it. So,
do you know there's an app that you can like use Post-it notes but not use Post-it notes? It's produced by 3M.
Nice. Who makes Post-it notes?
I know. So mm-hmm. look at them. They're protecting, they're planning ahead, if you mm-hmm. will, because the world is going digital. They know this. Mm-hmm. But they have a digital solution for Post-it notes.
Digital Post-it notes.
Mm-hmm. I had one of the it's, I guess, pretty cool. You don't call it an app if it's not on a Mac, right? Or do you?
What?
Right. Yeah. The stickies.
You do? An apps are everywhere
app
now?
App is everywhere.
App is everywhere. I did have that like 2 years ago on my my regular PC, the sticky mm-hmm. note thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's different. That's different. No, this is like an actual app on your cell phone.
Oh.
So either in the Android or the Apple Store.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Android or in the Apple Store or...
Oh, you can also find Hustlin' and Heels,
you could
right?
really yeah. anywhere in either of those that places. Listen.
Spotify, TuneIn,
yeah.
Stitcher,
iHeartRadio.
So you can listen and then use your Post-it note app to take notes over the pearls of wisdom,
right?
Which they're going to need a lot of notes for this one. They'll need a lot.
Well, we've already learned what tannin is,
right? You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So before we jump into what the guys do now, I guess it'd be appropriate to go back a little bit and talk about their backstory. So why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction? Because we talk about you guys a lot on our podcast, but
mostly Mike.
It is right. mostly Mike. I get my feelings hurt weekly when I listen to the episodes.
You do. I'm sorry. Heartthrob.
I'm a heartthrob. We heard that. It was said on another podcast.
Who established that?
It was from
the heartthrob himself.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
I established it locally. Right. Some guy in some podcast about CrimeCon said something to the effect of, "Which one is Bob Ruff? Isn't he kind of a heartthrob?" I think they meant Payne Lindsay. But yeah, but I jumped on it. Confused. I made Becky listen to it that I'm a heartthrob and how lucky she is.
Mm-hmm. Like all I got out of that, like all I remember about the whole heartthrob thing was we were doing the live show and they introduced you and you yourself in front of 50 people screamed
Bob Ruff heartthrob.
Yeah.
That's how I like to be known.
Well, self-titling.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the Seinfeld episode, right? Where George tries to give himself his own nickname,
mm-hmm.
T-Bone, and it doesn't necessarily stick. So, well, it's fine. It's, you know... Like, he's drinking his beer. He can be the heartthrob.
You know, did you notice I'm going sip for sip between
it's
the Bud
really
Light
gross.
And the wine?
Yeah. I am too. I don't know why.
Just
why?
Pour them together.
No. It is a good wine, though.
It is good.
Yeah, so drink the wine and then drink your beer.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, who are we starting with here? Who wants to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I'll be happy to do some talking.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'm Bob. I'm a heartthrob in many circles around the world. Mm. I actually went to high school with Stacy, and that's why she refers to me as Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Becky when we met that she could always tell what era of my life I met someone by what they call me. Because in high school, all through school, I was Bobby, and I disliked that. I felt like it was a little boy nickname. And so when I went to college in Colorado... I introduced myself as Robert because that was more mature and adult.
A man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man's man. Mm-hmm. Robert.
Right.
Right. And then so I met my ex-wife out there and then came back here. And so she and everyone that I met in Colorado still refers to me as Robert. My high school friends refer to me as Bobby. When I got to the fire, when I became a fireman, like my first day on the job, I walked in and I was still on this Robert kick. And I'm like, how you doing? I'm Robert. And said, whatever, Bob, get over here. And so it became Bob. And it, like, I was like 21 years old, but I was like old man Bob then. And then Bob is stuck. And I don't mind Bobby. I kind of like it. It's nostalgic. I guess when you get close to 40,
yeah,
you like being Bobby.
Bobby's a good name.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm incapable of calling you anything else.
I don't mind it anymore at all.
All
right. My mama calls me Bubba sometimes.
Mm.
Bubba. That one stings.
Yeah. That one's sweet. That one's sweet. So you used to be a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was that like?
It was really cool for a long time. So I started as a volunteer fireman, and then I spent 13 years as a I don't like the word professional because the paid on call guys are professional too.
Full time.
Yeah, full time career firefighter. And then I loved it. I was the lieutenant on one of the busier rigs in Bering County for a long time down in Niles. I have a bunch of kids. I have two kids. My wife has two kids. And when we got to the age where they were doing sports and they wanted me to coach and I started missing Little League games and parades and all this stuff, I decided I needed to get an 8 because I work 24-hour shifts. I only work 9 days a month, but 24s, mm-hmm. and then a lot of overtime shifts too. So I was gone a lot. And it's very unpredictable. It's predictable, but it's not like I have every Tuesday off. So it'd be like I'd work Tuesdays for 3 weeks and then I'd have Tuesdays off for 3 weeks or 6 weeks. So I ended up applying for and getting a job as the fire chief up in the north end of the county, North Berrien. Spent 3 years there, which is where I learned to hate the fire service. I don't really hate the fire service, but it was a lot different than like leading a crew into battle every day, into fighting the fires and kicking doors down. And the chief, you wear like a suit and you argue with the politicians and the board members, and you're the whipping boy from both sides because the guys want stuff, and then you pitch it to the board, and then they're pissed at you for asking them to spend money, and the guys are pissed at you for not getting it. And it just got, we had a swing in my board of directors about a year before I ended up, I say taking early retirement. I quit, but I'd been there long enough and it was vested that it could be considered. I was vested. Mm-hmm. So I could consider it an early retirement, freeze my pension. I started doing the podcasts, which was Serial Dynasty, as a hobby. It had taken off, gotten really big. And, during that time period, I just started to hate the fire department. You know, I wasn't fighting fire anymore. I didn't feel like I've always wanted to be able to make a difference in people's lives, and I didn't feel like I was doing that anymore. I was just sitting behind a desk arguing and crunching numbers, and just it got to a point where I had a pretty healthy offer on the table from some ad agencies to for the podcast that exceeded my salary at the fire department. And I had Mike, you remember the board meetings?
Yeah.
They're lots of fun.
I was present for a few of those. Yeah. They were brutal.
Yeah. Our new board had a policy that was you have to be at the board meetings, and then we take public comment and let people rant about whatever they want to, but you're not allowed to respond to them. And so I would sit there and listen to all these people just ranting negative bullshit, and I had to just sit there and not say anything about it. I started getting like anxiety attacks before board meetings. It was a nightmare. Within the last couple of months I was there is when they told me.
And also, I mean, it should be noted that that was a total shift in the way things were.
For the first two years. Right. Different board came in. Right. So the board became the guy that when I applied for the job was very competitive. The guy that came in second that wanted my job was on my board.
Oh.
The guy that came in third's best friend was on my board. Who wanted his buddy to have the job, and I had fired, you know, so he's on my board now. Yeah, it got super interesting. I was just tired of it. I had these anxiety attacks. I didn't want to go. And it was just one of those days where I had a meeting, and it turned out to be not much more free time because I worked like 8 to 5, but then you have meetings on Monday nights and trainings and board meetings and just every single night and the call back to fires. And I was getting ready to go back to a meeting and I was just like, I've had it. And then the board I was working for, I couldn't stand them. And I told Becky, like, I don't want to do this anymore, which was shocking because I loved when she met me, I was a fireman. I loved my job. And it was just like, I'm miserable. I'm miserable going to work. My dad gave me some of the best advice I ever received from anyone years before when I left. I worked for a construction company and I left and started my own. And he said, your job is only as good as the first asshole you got to answer to. And I had six that I had to answer to. And so I told Becky, I think I want to give this podcast thing a try and walk away. And I have an amazing, awesome, supportive wife who said, do what you want to do. I want you to be happy. I know you're not going to let us starve to death. You'll do something.
Yeah, but you're crazy for that, by the way.
Right. I mean,
you're absolutely insane. coming from your employee, you're nuts for making that
stupid
play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, again, we talk about this every week. What are the common themes? And one of the common themes of hustlers, which I would consider you a hustler, Bobby, is jumping. So just making that determination, making that decision that you're going to do it and you're going to figure it out.
Yeah, it was a big, scary jump. But, you know, I give all the credit to my wife because if she had given, because that was a crazy move for me. You know, I started in the fire service super young, so I could like retire with a pension at 50. I'm 39 now. That's not that far away. And to walk away from that and the benefits and all that it was a scary, I never would have done it. All it would have taken for her is to say, oh, that sounds scary. And I'm like, never mind. I'll just go back to work and just go do my thing. But yeah, her supporting me and knowing that, you know, she trusting in me that no matter what happened, that we were going to be all right. And I went into that meeting and they started their bullshit and excuse me, I got fuck you guys. That's not what I did.
Oh,
no,
I'm like...
no, Ascension. Before I went to the meeting, I emailed them a letter of resignation, and then went to the meeting and said, "I'll give you guys, you know, up to, I don't remember. I gave them a long time. I was like, if you need 6 months, I'll give you 6 months. However long you want for me to help you transition to a new chief, I want you guys to succeed, but I'm done. I'm done just coming here and spinning my wheels and not accomplishing anything." Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, the podcast had turned into Truth and Justice by then.
Right.
And I felt like I was making a difference again. You know, I was affecting affecting change in people's lives like I used to when I was a backstep fireman or lieutenant on the rig. I missed that, and I was seeing results of my work. Even when I was in construction, you saw results of your work. You know, you look back when you're done at the end of the day and you can see what you did. Mm-hmm. And I was just in a place where it was like, I left work and I was like, what the hell did I do today? I got in 7 arguments. I wrote 2 memos and a press release and went home, you know, and did payroll. It was fun.
Right.
Your passion just shifted.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it did shift, and it was kind of off brand. I mean, to go from a fireman to a podcaster, it was a huge shift, but at the same time, it was always about trying to make a difference in people's lives. And so, you know, in that aspect, like the core of what I wanted to be was still there. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who said that I was insane for leaving my job to be a podcaster, let's talk about the guy that worked for the Cook Nuclear Plant and walked away.
Right.
To be a podcaster.
Right. So let's transition over to you.
There, first of all, there was so much more that needed to be said there, though. There's just a whole lot going on.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I don't know. I walked away from a pretty decent job, too. And I don't know if it was that we were firemen at one point or whatever. I mean, I call myself a fireman. I think I was, but I was only in for 2 years. And for what we're doing now, I think it took a little bit of that crazy that firefighters have to be able to just do that. I don't know. Where do I start? I met you in 2014. You had been on the job at North Barron as the fire chief for 2 years.
Probably a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah. And we became good friends. And I actually learned quite a bit about being a fireman. I wanted to do that, EMT school and everything. And I guess without skipping ahead too far.
For starters, the story of how we met, I think, is pretty interesting.
Were you at the dairy?
Okay, so I was doing that. I was at the grocery store. I'd worked there since I was 18, and that was my full-time gig. Had moved my way up into management. I thought, okay, I'm gonna spend the rest of my life in retail. It wasn't as bad as you might think looking on the outside. I mean, I had, you know, had friends and coworkers and acquaintances and everybody that I had built a life in that world. And as I'm explaining this, I'm trying to figure out how the hell we met. Because that's
the house
asked me.
Next door to Mike caught
on
fire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that was a big deal.
Memorable story.
Yeah, that's right.
It meant a lot more to me than it did
apparently.
Him.
Apparently.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, you just need to jog my memory a little bit. So, yeah, I was driving home one day from work, I think, actually. And, the house next to me, friends of mine, their home caught on fire. And it was a fully involved structure fire, the biggest fire I'd ever seen in my life. And it was really intense, really crazy. And before I knew it, you know, there was police on the ground. And I think you guys brought 3 trucks and the firefighters were out and they were moving hose lines. And Bob was yelling at everybody. I remember that seeing you. What are you doing? Hey, move over here. But, you're doing the chief thing. And I pulled my Galaxy S5 out, started filming the whole thing like an idiot.
Do you still have that video? Because I think I look pretty sexy in that video.
I lost it.
Maybe that's where the heartthrob.
Right. It came from that video. It's making its circulation on the internet.
So, and as I was watching this go down, I mean, as horrible as it was for my friends and for the house and everything, I had really, really, I thought that watching the way the firemen were and their process and how they went from extinguishing the fire to overhaul to leaving the scene. I watched the whole thing through my bedroom window, like, oh my gosh, these guys are really kicking ass out here. They're doing great. This is an awesome thing. I want to join. I want to sign up. And I was like 20, 24, 25. I can't remember, but older and in a job already, right? I was already set in my path in life. And I'm like, ah, screw it. I mean, I don't know if these guys are full time or not, or if they even get paid or what. I didn't know Coloma even had firefighters. But yeah, so I ended up the next day heading down to the station and talking with Bob, and we. I don't know if you're going to remember much of this, but
I remember it vividly.
Yeah. I walked in. One of the guys was out back of the station working on one of the trucks, and I walked in and I'm like, "Hey, I'm Mike. I'm interested in joining the fire department." I didn't know what that meant. If that was a job, if that was no pay, whatever. And I was like, "Who do I talk to?" And they were like, "Oh, you need to talk to Chief. Yeah, he's inside. He's inside. You just go right in, talk to him." And I walked in there. And I saw you, and I fell in love immediately.
Heartthrob. Oh, I was a heartthrob.
For real.
Their eyes met from across the room, and the connection was immediate.
Yes.
And they said, "Do you like podcasts? Because I love them." Right. And then,
have you heard Serial?
That's the thing. So, yeah, I guess I want to. We're already like 23 minutes in, and I want to. There's so much to talk about. I guess I'm gonna skip ahead here.
Well, can I pause you there for a second? Because
yeah. The Dallas thing. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but we'll get there.
I don't think no, because I want to get way past that.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about when we that day we met. What happened? Because it was moving for me. So backing up real, and I'll let you get back real quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. I joined the fire service after I came back from Colorado. I was working construction, had my own business, was thriving, thought I was just the cat's ass. And one day, it was a Friday, I got done working, and I went to Martin's and Niles. I was going to get some T-bones. I got a big paycheck that week, and I go to T-bones to get some steaks and some beers and have a great day, a great night. And when I left, the building, Superior Metals, across the street was on fire, huge fire. And when I went to college, I went as I had an Air Force ROTC scholarship. So you know, I always had this want to help people thing. And there was, long story, paperwork issue. I ended up not finishing that. So I saw these guys and I was like, what a piece of shit. I'm sitting here. You never know it now, but at the time I was like in like perfect shape. I ran 5 miles a day and lifted weights. And I was like, I'm 21 years old. I'm in great shape. I'm healthy, able-bodied. And I was looking at these guys outside just sweating to death. It was hot out. They didn't have enough help. And I was like, I'm going to go down there and volunteer. I want to go help. I want to go do something. And so I did that. And it was just, it didn't care about pay or I never intended for it to be a career. Ended up being. So jump to 15 years later, I'm sitting in my office. And now there was a whole process for me to hire anybody. We did it once a year. We took a bunch of applications. We screened them. There was written tests, interviews, physical agility tests to hire anyone. I've never, ever hired anyone right on the spot. I did a lot of hiring in Niles too. So for years I've done this and it's a good process. This guy walks into the station, walks into my desk and says, "Hey, the house next door to me caught on fire. I was watching you guys and I've got a good job. I work at Martin's. I'm in management. I've got a good job, but I feel like I'm not doing anything. Like I want to do something that matters, that's meaningful. So in whatever that capacity that means, I want to help you guys. I want to be a fireman." And I hired him on the spot. He's the only person I've ever hired on the spot, because it reminded me of that the same drive that I had 15 years before that, why I got into the fire service, and his heart and his eyes was the exact same thing. And so Mike is the only person in all those years that I ever hired on the spot. Worst mistake I ever made.
Yeah.
So sweet.
It was so good that you hired me on the spot twice.
Yeah, what? Oh, that's true. That's true, yeah.
Once again, a couple years later for this job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll let you get back to your story now, but I think you undersold that interaction. That's why I remember it vividly.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Bob. I did. What else? There was some fun. I was going to tell the Dallas thing, but I don't know.
Go if that's for it, because that's part of how you ended up here.
Yeah. So, no.
I just realized. Yeah, okay, No, Mike, tell the story. Like it's my show.
Yeah. I was just about to interject and say, "Hey guys."
Forgot you guys were here. Sorry. Yeah.
Welcome to Hustle and Heels Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy. I would love to interject into this week's episode of The Love Connection, apparently, that we have going on.
Please go right ahead.
Goddamn. I'm going to go ahead and fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, in the interest of time and all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's a podcast. We got all the time we want. It could be 4 hours long if we wanted to.
No. I do have to say, I love that story. And I love, like, the hug that you guys did after that, like, that the listeners can't hear, but they were, like, looking into each other's eyes longingly.
We kissed on the cheek. Cheekish.
Cheekish.
You always cross the line.
Corner of mouth. Still technically considered cheeks.
Mike's blushing in case you guys can't see.
I think that's the wine, to be honest with you.
It's the tannin. There's too much tannin.
Now, you know that I haven't talked very much in this episode because my wine is officially gone.
Oh.
Mine is too. I drank it. I'm out of the Bud Light
now.
This should have been a two-bottle night.
Well, that bottle only makes four glasses. There's four people.
Right.
That's the key. You got one extra person in here.
Yeah. That's true.
Normally,
that's
our guests only drink one glass.
Because they talk a lot.
Like the one of them, not two. Right.
Right, so then
we drink two.
It's fine. So, all right. But now you guys have a podcast. So let's talk, though, about that original podcast experience. So, Bobby, you were a podcast listener to Serial, mm-hmm. and you decided to start your own podcast kind of as a companion piece to the original Serial. How did that whole process get started?
Kid got sick. That's what happened. My entire career changed when Parker was vomiting when he was 4 years old.
Hmm.
I was home with him when he was sick. I was listening to Serial for the 20th time and referring to my notes. Nerd, right?
Right.
I have this like investigative mind. Like I just can't. If the pieces of the puzzle don't fit together, the OCD doesn't. Just I can't get past it.
I understand.
Yeah. And it was like, this doesn't make sense. There's this. And Parker was taking a nap and I was sitting on the couch bored and I thought, I bet, you know what? It takes nothing. I looked up on YouTube how to make a podcast. And I thought, well, I could make a podcast where I like will talk and then listeners will like other people like me. There has to be more like me in the fucking world, right? Somewhere that will email in like their ideas and thoughts on the case. And then I'll talk about those in the next week. So it'll be like crowdsourcing. And it basically, I didn't have any friends that wanted to talk about it. So I wanted friends that wanted to talk about Serial. It was like a book club is what I started, a fan show. And I did it. And it just stupidly just, and I think it was really just my success was not because I was anything special. It was because people were just chomping at the bit for anything Serial.
Oh, yeah. I was obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
I was obsessed with it.
Didn't listen to my show.
I think that I did, actually.
It was. When I listen back to it now, it was so terrible.
Yeah, you were in the shed in the back.
In the garden shed, yeah.
With three sides of a cardboard box in front of you.
Yeah,
and
with
a microphone.
Styrofoam in it.
Yeah.
To limit the echo.
You're kidding.
Out there, yeah. Yeah, and it just got big, and then it was like, I kind of hit the end of the rainbow, where it was like, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, and I was talking about the Undisclosed podcast. It was going at the same time, you know, and those are all, you know, crazily, those are all friends of mine now, Robbie and Susan and Colin. But like they were talking about legal stuff and I wanted to dissect the case. And I was like, well, somebody needs to find out about this dude's time card. So I'll make a phone call, you know? And so I started, you know, making phone calls to Lens Crafters and like, why hasn't anybody heard from Neighbor Boy? Fuck it, I'm calling Neighbor Boy, and I look him up, and I get a hold of him, and then I get an interview with Neighbor Boy, and it just kept snowballing to, all of a sudden, it went from this, like, fan show to where we were actively investigating the case past what any of the other podcasts had done, and then, yeah, people were like, well, don't stop, do another case.
Right, but let's stick with that same case, because your involvement with that case, I mean, has gone to the lengths that obviously no other podcast has gone to. So talk about your involvement specifically with that Adnan Syed case.
Well, I wouldn't say not that anyone else has gone to, because the Undisclosed podcast, you know, Susan Simpson in Undisclosed actually found, crazily enough, just a fax cover sheet that was not disclosed to the defense that said, you know, that incoming phone calls can't be used for location data from AT&T. That the prosecution withheld from the defense, which was a Brady violation, which was the reasoning for the conviction getting overturned 2 years ago, going on 2 years now. So they worked those legal angles hard.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was the investigative angle, you know, where I was, you know, developing new leads and new suspects, and all of a sudden, next thing we know, like shit got crazy. There was this whole network of cover up that was happening that the police missed. So it didn't affect the habeas procedures that were going on now, but what it ended up was with me in Baltimore sitting in Justin Brown's office, Adnan's attorney, discussing legal strategy for a new trial with this alternate suspect. And since then, so yeah, it went from, it's stupid. I mean, it was like for this guy in Michigan, it just, I feel very blessed, lucky, and confused about how all of this came to be, you know, what it is now.
I think it's cool. I mean, I am a big believer everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, I mean, one, your podcast just kind of fell in your lap.
Yeah,
a little, you know what really I mean? Did. But like you're talking about like real people and their real future and whether they in reality spend time in jail or not. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's just my brain is that's hard for me to comprehend how like cool that is.
The most, you know, going back to what I said earlier about wanting to do something to make a difference, you know, just I tell you the day, March 29th this year, the next case we took was Edward Eight's case out of Dallas, Texas, who's case was completely legally dead, convicted of murder, going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And it's a long story. You got to listen to season 2 of Truth and Justice if you want to hear the whole story. But I got the call on that day. Mike and I were sitting here. So his attorney with the Innocence Project, who we got to take the case for them, we FaceTime all the time. And she FaceTimed me and I answer it. And there she is bawling. And all she could get out of her mouth is, "Ed's coming home." And it's over. So it was like, it all came full circle to like,
that's wow. Cool.
And in the middle of us, you know, we're working on the West Memphis 3 case right now, which is a bitch. It's never going to do that again. Yeah. Take on a very high profile case because it really impedes the crowdsourcing aspect of what we do, because there's 25 years of like embedded people that just want to fight and argue and just get in the way. It's a bunch of noise. And so in the middle of dealing with all that, then it's like, he's going home. Like, we did it. We did it. We got him home. We got another case with the Innocence Project that we're waiting on DNA testing, and we think it's going to send him home. And Anand's going home. So, yeah, a lot of really cool. And I do, too. Like, I believe God put me in this place for a reason. And it's just sometimes it's hard to see where you're going. But then, you know, there's certainly ups and downs. But I am very, very blessed to be a person that loves coming to work every day. And I get to work with my second best friend, Mike.
Second best friend?
Well, you know, Zach moved in down the street.
We've had this talk.
Well, inside joke. Okay. Yeah. I tell him that now that he's moving away and my buddy and moving away, just he's Mike's still here. He's just moving 30 minutes away instead of 30 seconds away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's really exciting.
But my buddy and tattoo artist actually is moving in or moved in down the street. Just 4 doors down. So I tell Mike all the time, he's my second best friend now.
Yeah. Jerk.
So how did you end up in the seat behind the big computer?
I don't know when we really, like, we had talked about us working together. It was before I got a better.
He's coming back.
It was before I got.
His memories of you, Bobby, are so vivid.
No. Right, yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Very important part of his life.
You guys need to know.
You're like his seventh best friend.
The post-it notes were introduced by me because I have such a bad memory. How that goes is I had a job that I wasn't satisfied with. He was talking about jumping off and doing this venture into this podcasting thing. And I was really into it. I had been involved in the podcasting thing with you since the beginning.
Well, Mike helped out a lot. Like I had went to Dallas to work on the case while he was still working full time at his other job at the grocery store.
At the grocery store. Then I got another job, which was like decent. And I was like, hey man, I might be all right. Like, yeah. I think I'm gonna.
But that was part of it. It was during that time Mike took a vacation. I was like, I gotta go to and I had to go deal with some shady people in some shady neighborhoods, like scary. And I'm like, dude, I need somebody to back me up. And he's like, I'm gonna take a week off vacation. I'm gonna come with you.
Right.
If anybody rolls up and there's any danger, I'll just hide under the seat.
Which was so.
Actually thinking like, and then what? Like, would Mike do in that instance?
He was supposed to tell me
this whole thing played out in real life.
We're coming.
Yeah, it happened. It actually happened. We have so much fun. It was such a blast.
Almost died.
So much fun. Almost dying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he helped out a lot when he could because he was really, again, just like the fire service, his heart was in what we were doing and not in working in a grocery store. Even though, I mean, it was a great job. I mean, he was running the whole dairy department.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Dairy manager.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd the picture go?
We did some spring cleaning and I finally,
what the hell?
During the spring cleaning, I told Mike, it's finally time. You've become a man.
It's not time.
Okay, hold on.
It's not time.
I feel like we should have been consulted.
You really should have. You guys had
no idea what that picture was up until like two weeks ago.
We loved it.
We referenced it many times.
It was a star of our Facebook Live videos. Frequently.
So what that was was it was just a joke when Mike left the grocery store and he got the job at the nuclear plant on the fire brigade there. He had taken and I had snuck in between Becky and I. We covertly stole the picture, the Mike bussing dairy manager picture, and hung it up there all the time. It was like a joke, and I would joke around with him, like, you know, don't forget, you fuck up. You remember, you can go back to that.
Like, how in the hell did you get that picture off of the wall at work and bring it in here?
Very, very sly.
Yeah.
But it was really a serious moment for me. It was a joke between us, but it was, you know, Mike has, we're not podcasters. We're not radio producers. We're like two dumbasses that were firefighters that are like learning as we go every day. It was just one of those moments for me when we were cleaning stuff up around the studio. That we, you know, every spring we tend to like literally do spring cleaning. And I was like, you know, Mike has gotten so freaking good at his job with Truth and Justice. I mean, it's like our audience is really, really big now, and there's an expectation of the quality that puts out, and he just kills it every week. And it was. I was like, you know what? You don't need to look at this fucking shit on the wall again.
Aww.
Yeah, you're done.
Thanks, Aww. Bobby.
You're up to a new level.
You guys going to do like a full mouth kiss right now or what?
I mean.
1 second.
I'm down.
As Mike like blushes even more and moves away.
Yeah. And Bobby moves the microphone
So we actually have a rule that we only kiss on the lips.
This isn't going to make any sense to them, Bob. I want you to know that before you say it. Go ahead.
We only kiss on the lips right before I go on vacation.
Oh. Because you're going to miss each other that much.
Yeah, but you go on vacation a lot.
He does. I leave town all the time.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah. No. So when you work in, your audience has seen your Facebook Live videos and stuff. Yeah. You've seen the studio. I am so grateful and thankful that we have the space to work in. But it's a 12x16 windowless room, and there's two of us, and we work long ass hours in here.
It's like living on a submarine.
So yeah, there's no one else that I could be in here with. Imagine being with one person for 50 hours a week in a space like this all the time. So we have constant running jokes.
Yeah, you
all
almost
the time.
Have to.
Yeah, and so that was the joke was. I'm leaving, Mike. I got to go to, I don't remember where I had to go. I think I had to go to New York for the Nancy Grace show. I had to go to New York. And I was like, do we hug? Do we kiss? Maybe we only kiss when I'm leaving town. Like, what do we do?
Set some ground rules.
Like, I love, my favorite thing in the world is to make him uncomfortable.
I
love it.
I know it. I know you do. Uh-huh. And it's really easy to do.
Just kiss him on the lips. It upsets him.
Right.
Yeah.
Excites him and upsets him. I mean, a little mixture of both, probably.
Right. You know, love and hate are two very close emotions.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk about Truth and Justice because y'all are kind of a big deal, right? And so to our listeners, to our hustlers and heels who might not, you know, listen to many other podcasts, or maybe they are familiar with true crime podcasts, tell them a little bit about it. I've only had one glass of wine tonight.
That's right. I'll just
like
snip,
a half
snip.
Glass of
I'll
wine.
Snip it
I
up
think the problem is that you only had a half glass.
I was just going to say, I think that's it.
You know, whenever you're doing things like kayaking, canoeing, golfing, there's
you're
nothing
better
worse.
The more you drink.
There's nothing worse than the beer running out. Like, shit gets real when the beer runs
someone
out.
Someone could have offered me a beer. I'm just saying.
I'll go get some.
I think there's some German beer some fan sent us.
Oh, I like that German beer. I'm getting some.
Grab her.
You don't need to get her one. She'll get it herself.
You gave me that last week, didn't you?
Did you drink it? Is there beer in there?
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Look at that. It's a nice German beer.
I had one last week. They were like really strong, but they're good.
No, you had a... Yours was not German. I got this. Watch this. This is what the wedding rings are for.
Oh my goodness. That's actually really cool.
For those,
I wish that we would have taken like a video of that.
For those of you that don't know what just happened, I used my wedding ring to pop the
Rathaus Pulse.
It's from Germany. Like we have listeners that will send us.
Oh, it was foaming.
Pour it into the wine glass.
I'm pouring it into the wine glass.
That's classy.
That is classy.
You asked us something before the beer came up.
I did.
Talk about your podcast.
Oh, so that you can drink it.
I want to drink. So talk some more, Bobby. I'm sure you'd be devastated to do so.
What can I say about Truth and Justice?
It's the gift of gab.
Yeah. It's
if anybody, you were just born to do it. If anybody is going to be a professional talker, It's you.
Listen, Stacey's right there with me. She's got the gift of gab.
She does.
I listen to her every week.
Dude,
she rolls it.
Dude, whenever I bring that up.
And Stacey plays the perfect mic. She's right there. She always has the perfect time, the perfect interjection at all times. They're a great team. They are the female Bob and Mike.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever, I concur. Whenever I bring up that whole thing, like the gift of gab thing, everyone looks at me like I'm crazy.
No, but I don't.
It's a real thing.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Okay.
We can't help ourselves.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We have very interesting things to say.
It's us Buchanan people.
It is.
You're also both from the smallest town in America, which is strange.
Hey, is it time for our weekly commercial of our beloved hometown?
It is.
So I did enjoy myself in my hometown this week. I got some coffee from the Union Coffee House. I went and worked out at a Red Bud. And then I went for a run in town. And for those of you who were on Front Street when I was running last night and fell on my ass by tripping over a crack in the sidewalk, you're welcome for that enjoyment. I stayed on the ground for quite a while. And
did you swear?
I don't swear. Stayed on the ground for quite a while. Thanks, fuckers. No one stopped and asked if I was all right.
And that's Buchanan. What that became is the story down at the
at McCoy's.
Yeah, McCoy.
Oh, you know, at McCoy's.
I forget. See, I haven't lived in Buchanan for a while. I'm still about Marzu's, places
McCoy's
that are gone.
So
out.
Shout out to McCoy's Tavern because they know how to pour a drink and they also know how to serve some great food and they have the best customer service. They know who you are when you come in. They know what drink you're drinking. It's like Cheers, Buchanan style.
That's right.
I
love a good Homer bar. So I've been gone from Buchanan for a while, but in Bridgman we've got bars like that too. There's something to be said about walking into a place and them saying, "Hey, did you want whatever your regular is?"
Right. When Carrie and I go in for dinner, they'll say Tito's and soda, Captain and Coke, and we'll say yes, thank you.
It just makes you feel important, and that's what makes a good bar.
Yeah.
You know, I walk into the Getaway, even Mike has gotten there. We walk into the Getaway here in Bridgman, they crack us open a couple of Bud Lights. They never know with Becky because it depends on her mood.
Right.
Sure.
You know, she may be in a wine mood.
I'm more with Becky. Depends on the mood.
Just depends on the mood.
I've never been to the Getaway, though.
Cubby's Bar.
The Cubby
Bar.
You
gotta ring the bell.
Yeah. Like, I pass it all the time on my way to other places, but I've never been to the Getaway. Every place in Buchanan I've been.
It's a Homer bar.
It is.
You don't live in Buchanan, right?
I'm not moving yet to Buchanan.
You're moving to Buchanan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're building a house. Couple
School
years.
Road.
Brocious School Road.
West Side, baby.
The address.
That's great.
No.
The exact address. What's your social security number?
No, so I never, ever in 10 million years would have told you that I would be moving to like Acreage
because
I'm more of a city person, but we're going to build us a little farm.
That's awesome. Cute. Can I ask how many acres you got?
10.
10 acres. So that's mine and Becky's dream so we have kids now. We live in town. So we made a decision 4 years ago to not move to the country, to be in town so the kids could have friends to play with and stuff. But when they're gone, then that's what we want to do. We want to buy a big chunk of property and build a house.
So there's 15 acres right next to the 10 acres I just bought.
Is it woods?
No.
It's wooded in the back.
Wooded in the back.
And there's a ravine. It's a beautiful ravine.
So what I want to be able to do I want to be able to hunt and fish on my own property.
This is not the property for you.
Brocious School. Is that where no one cares about this. We'll talk about it off the air.
But it's a really nice piece of property.
This is what happens when you get 2.5 Bucktown people in the studio.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So I'm excited because I'm going to be close to my my in-laws and my brother and sister-in-law that have a new baby, and he's super cute.
Cheeks.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
My gosh.
Are you a West Sider too?
I grew up on the West Side. Mandarin Lake Road until I moved to kind of your neck of the woods out on Holmes Drive.
You're out on Holmes?
No. Now I live...
What's your exact address?
Your dad lived on Holmes Drive in my old neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. I can't reveal my exact address.
And what's the exact address you live at now?
It would be weird to
anybody
reveal
wants
that.
To stalk Stacey.
But it's funny how...
Any more people want to stalk
Mike,
did
you notice how I turned the table?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Great job.
Yes. Great job. Now let's go back to talking about this podcast. So they produce and Bob is the host of and Mike is the executive producer of a podcast called Truth and Justice, which has about 1 billion listeners, I believe.
3 billion, I think we're up to
3
now.
3 billion now.
that's not true. I thought it was just over 7.
Right, just over 7 billion.
Right. They have a lot. All right. So let's talk a little bit about that podcast and then about the stuff that you've done as a result of that podcast. Because I'm sure that we have some listeners here that would love to jump over and listen to what you got going on.
Yeah. I mean, we basically have kept our core where it always was, which is a crowd. The idea, our basic concept, would you say, Mike, is the idea that ordinary people can make a difference in the world. That you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So like the criminal justice system, is it's lawyers and judges, and that's obviously necessary for the system.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a system that is broken in a lot of ways, in my opinion. And what we realized, so we took Ed H's case, again, it was the first case we took by ourselves, and it's a perfect example. He cycled through lawyers and appeals processes and habeas claims and all that. And it's just, it's all about money, how much you can afford to spend, and how many chances you have. So we took this case and said, and it's not me. I mean, I'm the voice of the show, and I was, I guess, lead investigator. But the whole idea is that everyone contributes. And in his case, it was like we needed a photogrammetry expert to analyze photos. And we have listeners that say, I'll do it for free. That's what I do for a living. We needed old photos to be cleaned up. They did that for us. We needed a, what was it? I don't remember now. Was it like a 1982?
Hold on. Don't say it. Let's see if I can remember. No.
We're testing Mike's memory.
It was a car, a little hatchback, like a Dodge Omni or something like that.
That's not it, but we can get there.
So what he can't remember, but he knows you're
We
wrong.
Needed an old ass car.
Right.
Because we needed to compare it to these photos. It was a long story, but a listener's like, hey, I live, you know, down in Nashville, Tennessee, in the area, and I found that car in the exact model you need in the classified. It's $500. I bought it. It's in my barn. Send your expert here. And so we send an expert who is also a listener to go there and measure it and take photos. And so all of a sudden, all these people contributing and just ideas. Like, it's amazing having fresh eyes on a case when somebody's like, well, have you ever thought of this? And it's like, no, but what? And then that's the road you end up going down, and then it ends up solving. You know, I'm convinced that we've solved that case. We'll find out very soon when the DNA results come back in. But through that process, I think we know exactly who killed Eleanor Griffin, who was the victim in that case, and how it happened and when it happened and where it happened. So the whole idea is it's all about, it's a lot like what you guys do. It's all about empowering people. And it's to say that, you know, instead of sitting, there's so much shit and negativity in this world. Mm-hmm. And all we want to do is be a light. That's it. It's to be a light and say, listen, come here. Let's be positive. Like, everybody contribute whatever you have, whether it's, you know, a couple, but you know, Ed Eights is going home to nothing. I mean, he has his wife. I mean, nothing. I shouldn't have said that, because he still has, luckily, after 19 years in prison, his wife and his kids visiting him every week that have stuck
and
by
his
side.
That's amazing.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't have is any clothing, a car, a job, any of that stuff.
Any sense of stability.
Right. So we put up a GoFundMe and said, listen, we want to help make this transition smooth. The last thing I want Kim, his wife, to be worrying about is, you know, buying Ed a toothbrush. You know, so I put up a GoFundMe for $5,000 and said, let's try to raise them $5,000. Maybe they can even take a little vacation. Our listeners in 2 days raised $31,000
for them.
Shit. Yeah. And what I love about it was nobody donated $20,000. That's thousands of people donating $1, $5, $10, whatever they can do. And so it's an opportunity for me. It's almost like a ministry, so to speak, where it's like, here's a place where we can like share love in whatever way we're available. You're able to do it. In that case, people were able to just to contribute a little, but so many hands contributing a little, whether it's money or whether it's expertise or skill sets. All together, we've had librarians that have helped find us newspaper articles from 25 years ago, whatever it takes to make a difference in one person's life. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Truth and Justice is all about.
Well, I think it's the collective impact, because all those different people probably all wanted to do really good. And we see it in the community work that happens, you know, totally unrelated to podcasts. But you have all these different people that all want to do really good things, but they all just need to come together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you all come together under what you provided as a unified mission, then the good that can be accomplished is amazing.
Yeah.
And I wish that model could be applied to so many so many.
And I think that it can be.
Yeah.
When you add in the celebrity status, and I do use that in quotations.
Yeah, big quotes.
Thank you.
I don't know if you know what celebrity means.
Right. Well, anyways. So, but I think that's when sometimes you can kill the collective impact because, mm-hmm. and I see it in a lot of the like nonprofit organizations that all aim to do really great things, but they all want to do it themselves. And right. they all have their own leads that have this great mission and this great vision, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do whatever.
Right.
And it's like, from the outside, you can see that, but you guys are all trying to do the same thing.
Right.
You know?
Let's do it together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but when you add in the ego of it, that yeah. I think is easy to mm-hmm. be added in when you get to that.
We have the benefit of just actually being normal, ordinary, middle mm-hmm. class, you know.
Probably because you record in like a submarine.
Yeah.
Like just the two of you.
But exactly. That's exactly right.
As a perfect example, what happens, and I've seen it happen to other podcasts, because podcasts are mostly people in their basements, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, that just are skilled with computers and can put out some cool content.
Yeah, a lot of times it's somebody who isn't very good at public speaking mm-hmm. in front of people.
They'll give them a microphone and they can
they'll record it and they'll put it out there for people to hear yeah. as if they were speaking in front of them.
And we know how much magic can be done on yeah. the editing part.
Yes,
so
thank you for that.
Mike edits you guys very little. I listen to him while he's doing it every week. But the thing is, like, there ends up, for the most part, podcasters are just a cool community of people because, like, there's the few assholes that are out there that get really competitive mm-hmm. and they don't want to help. But, like, one thing that I keep – and, of course, it's a business, right? So this is our job. So you have to think about that all the time. But then I've always been in the mindset that, it's so freaking corny, but, like, the do unto others thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I had a friend of ours, Brooke Giddings, that it has some good podcasts doing the same type of work. You know, contacted me the other day and she's like, hey, I'm starting this new season, this new show called Buried Alive. Would you pitch it on your show? And your instinct as a business person is to say, nah, I don't want my audience to go listen to you. I'm listening to me. But then it's like, what are we all trying to do? We're trying to do the same thing. So mm-hmm. we put it out there and try to help. And even as far as, you know, we have a listener, Abby Scott, that is very good at making animations. And so she takes our episodes on whatever case we're working and we'll create a visual YouTube animation for people to be able to track visually the people that don't understand, you know, that have a hard time just listening to it. That's yeah. another one. She like sends me the video and she's like, here, you can go put your voiceover in this and publish it on your YouTube channel. I'm happy to help. And for us, it's like, no, I don't, like, why don't you push that back to your YouTube channel and use your voice? And so she's starting to build a business because of it, you know,
sure.
also because,
That's
you know,
cool.
we send it, you know, a bunch of listeners her way to watch her videos, her YouTube mm-hmm. channel is growing and things like that. And it's like, I try to, every decision that we make, no matter what it's about, I always try to think like, what can we do that's going to make them have the most positive effect? And it's just, we've just been very blessed in return from continuing to do that.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, without a doubt, like, I always tell you, like, jokingly, and I'll be quick here, jokingly, I'm just waiting for the bottom to fall out. You know, because right. this is too good to be true. But we're doing everything we can to really, it's why I think you alluded to this earlier, why we got into the fire service. Mm-hmm. It was to make a difference in the world. And I think we're doing what we can. And it's mm-hmm. it's just great for that to be your job. You mm-hmm. know, it's like really, really neat.
And everybody can do it. And that's what's so cool.
Yeah.
So you do have a third man behind the scenes, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Shane Yoder.
Yes.
Put them in a song.com.
And his new podcast, The Root Note,
yes,
the other
yeah.
NBI
oh,
show,
yes.
Which is better than our show, not quite as good as yours. You know, it's somewhere in the middle.
We appreciate that.
Right? different show. So that was part of when we built the NBI brand. Now we decided we wanted to bring on other shows. And it was all about, we have people pitch us shows all the time. That they want us to, because you know, if you get a shout out on Truth and Justice, you get a, you know, it's some automatic followers at least that are going to check you out. And we're very particular about who we put out there. And your guys' show was the first one that we begged for when you guys came
yeah.
in and told us we got this idea and we want to know, like, what are your, Stacey and I are old friends and, like, you know, what kind of equipment do we need? What do we need? And you guys left, and Mike and I both were like, dude, this is fucking awesome. Like it's like the concept is awesome. Just the empowering aspect of it. Like I love everything about this. These girls are going to be huge. We need to bring them in into our studio. Like I want, and so really it's like, I want, in order for us to build our brand as NBI Studios, it was like, I know you guys are going to be successful. You're going to be huge. And I just, you know, selfishly want the NBI Phoenix to go along with you.
We would love that NBI Phoenix to go along with us. We appreciate it so much.
You know, and so Shane's show was very much the same. So Shane does the music behind Truth and Justice. And it's been such a cool, you know, I had a bad experience with a bad music dude from LA that worked for us for a couple of years, or didn't work for us, just like, it's a long, shitty, negative story I don't want to get into. But at the end of the day, I stopped using his music. Shane was a listener of this show and our other show Off Duty, and had like sent us little jingles to use just for fun. And I reached out to him and said, look, we're looking for somebody new to do our music. Are you interested? He said, yeah. So we get to talking, and, you know, jump to 2 years later, and Shane's, I mean, we were contracted with him to do all of the, not just write little tracks for us like we used to do, but actually sound engineer and score. So after I talk and babble on, Mike cleans it up and makes it sound good. Shane does sound engineering on it and puts all the music under it. And it's a three-step process where every hand has to trust the other. Except, actually, none of you has to trust me, because y'all can fix my shit.
We're completely reliant on you, though.
Right. Yeah. Right. But really, everyone's reliant on everyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. As much as Mike has been such a huge asset and such an awesome guy to work with, Shane is just, again, everything happens for a reason. You know, so, you know, Shane and I meet, and it's like, God, we could be brothers. Like, he's just like, you know, I love the guy to death. I trust him to no end to do his job and for anything else. Great guy with PutThemInASong.com, writing custom music. And then he shows me, he's like, hey, I'm going to launch a podcast. Like his show was the same thing. Check this out. Listen to my trailer. I was thinking about making this podcast to show people the process of me writing songs. And I listened to the first episode, and I came in here and was like, damn. just like you guys, like we need to get Shane into the studios. And it's about, for us, it's just about wanting to be attached to people who are spreading positivity in the world and just doing good things. And you guys are doing awesome things. Shane's doing awesome things with the Root Note podcast, and hopefully we'll keep growing with other cool people doing cool things.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. We've experienced that, not on as big of a scale as you guys have yet, but just the feedback that we've received too about like positive impact that our show's making on people's lives. Like, we get messages, you know, on a pretty regular basis of people saying, you know what, I was just having a rough day. And then I listened to this episode about, you know, motivation, or I listened to this episode about burnout, and you guys just really, you know, the whole concept spoke to me, and the ideas that you offered were great. And I feel like I can hustle through the rest of my week. So thanks for that. You know, so just to receive those messages, or just to have that feedback from your listeners, to know that you are making a positive impact in what you're doing, continues to propel you forward. Right, yeah. And provides that fuel.
And people don't realize how important those messages are.
So important. Makes my day.
For us, too. I got a message. We get hate mail. We thought about doing a hate mail segment.
It would just encourage it.
Earmuffs, for one of the worst words in the language that I'll never use. My favorite hate mail of the week was, Bob Ruff, you are an ignorant cunt.
Oh.
Someone took the time to go on Facebook and send me that message. And so, but the people that like genuinely, and they're like, I'm sure you won't read this. I know you're busy, blah, 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 but I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate that. It's a little thing. It's like,
huge.
It's what drives you.
It's what drives you. Like, when I get one of those, I'm like, oh my God, like, it's working, you know, like what we're doing is important and it's working. And we go places a lot, 'cause we're pretty visible in the community and we're involved in the community, and they'll say, oh, hey, there's the podcast girls. There's the podcast girls. There's the Heels girls. Yeah. And, just to get, you know, references from other people who are like, hey, you got to talk to this woman. She's crushing it. I met two people this week who are going to be on our podcast who are just phenomenal women who I can't wait to introduce to our audience, who are just doing amazing things out in the community. And I'm not sure if I would have met those people without this podcast, without spreading this message of inclusivity and just fixing each other's crowns, which is a saying that we like to say a lot. But it's a cool feeling, right? Like to be able to have that impact and to be able to have this microphone and share that message specifically with the female population and growing our tribe is like badass.
It's very cool.
I think constructive criticism is good. Like I will never discourage if someone, you know, because, you know, no one knows it all. Right. So I think that not every feedback is or not every piece of feedback is going to be roses. And I get that. And I think sometimes there's value in the constructive, like, hey, did you think about this? Whatever. Right. But I genuinely feel sorry for the people that submit such negative, like you received. I'm not even going to say that word because that's like
I won't say
it
again.
You know what though? Yeah. You know what the real C word is? Can't. That's the real C word.
But that's the real.
I feel sorry for the people that.
I know you meant that, but it reminded me of some Will Ferrell movie.
I only say that and because I'm going to give him a shout out because he responded to our last week's Facebook Live and I didn't give him a shout out and he reminded me of it this week. So, Mr. David Drew, I really appreciated your comment on our Facebook Live where you said longtime listener, first time commenter. And then so this week he said, you know what, Stacey, the real C word is can't. So that is very.
He's
Zach
so right.
Galifianakis.
What?
The campaign.
I haven't seen that.
Well, David is a huge movie buff. He frequently makes references to movies.
I love that.
They go right over my head.
That minimal people understand by him.
Right over my head. And he'll be like, so he'll make the reference and expect me to like think that it's funny. And I'm like, oh, that's so good. And he'll be like, no, like that's from a movie. It's like I didn't.
Exactly the conversation, Mike, because I'm the exact same way. I reference movie quotes all the time and I'll say them and Mike will laugh. And then later I'll be like, God, that was so funny. Like, where did you come? Like,
right. It's a movie.
Movie. Yeah, and then he's disappointed in
David
me.
David doesn't say it wasn't an original idea.
Yeah. Right, I always think it's original. Yeah. I mean, it never is. It's
David
upsetting.
Drew's very funny. But he also does make a lot of movie references and I don't get them. And then
half.
I'm with you, David.
All right, but back to my really important point.
Oh, right.
I really do. I feel sorry for the people that feel necessary to take time out of their day and spend minutes of their life that they're never going to get back to just send, like, hate.
Do you know
my hate? I don't
absolutely.
Know.
Do you know my favorite negative review that we've received?
No.
Drop it.
Because, you know, I read them.
Was it the one that told us? Wait, was it the one that we used as our own, like, counseling?
Sure. No, I don't think so. So the title was Moms That Cuss.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Okay. Only one of us is. You know,
yeah, because so that's probably why I just didn't even regard it.
So, and then it said, they sound so prissy. Oh. Mm. And I was like, have you heard me drop the F-bomb 7 times per episode?
And I'll say, I'm getting to know Kaylee. Uh-huh. I don't know all that well, but I've known you since we were both children. And I would never describe Stacey Carlin as prissy.
I was like, when I saw that, I was like, you have not listened to our episodes.
Yeah.
So you are not allowed to say that we're prissy because you haven't listened to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's allowed. That's fine. Whatever. But that was my favorite review.
Everyone's entitled their opinion, but, you know.
But it's amazing. I have a hard time wrapping my...
Except
that lady.
You can go fuck yourself.
Right? Yeah. Because we can assume she's not listening anymore. So say whatever you want, lady.
That is a fair assumption.
Oh, boy. See, now, you remember I ran out of the wine? I'm pretty well into the beer.
Nice. Yeah, right.
And Mike did say it was strong, right?
Yeah. That's like, it's literally like the label is written in German, so I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, that packs a punch.
I think it means good.
Yeah, also,
that's good. Good and shit.
Good and shit.
Also important to know that people try to poison us often.
Yeah.
Oh.
That happens.
That's why I don't drink the beer they send us.
Oh, we always drink the wine that's sent
right.
to us.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. We always drink the beer they send us. We always do. But yeah, always. I have a hard time wrapping my brain around when people like, I say that all the time. Like, why would you take the time out of your day to just, like, what's going on in your life that you need to, like, take the time out of your day and, like, tell me that you don't like me.
Yeah.
Like,
not even like that you don't like the product, but it's like a personal attack on you.
Right.
Like, not even for a legit reason. You know, like if you have a legitimate reason to dislike me,
even if it's a legitimate reason, like if I had a legitimate reason to hate someone or
I
not like
wouldn't
them,
tell them,
I wouldn't bother myself with the half hour it takes to craft a Facebook post to tell them about it.
I was going
to
say, you know what I definitely wouldn't do is I wouldn't tell them over social media or behind a keyboard.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So let's talk about successful podcasters that you are. What are some of the additional things that you've been able to do as a result of being the host of and the executive producer of Truth and Justice?
A bunch of stupid weird things.
Yeah.
Like I got to be on TV a couple times, mm-hmm. which was really cool.
With Nancy Grace. Yeah. Charming woman.
Yeah, very sweet, charming woman. To be honest with you, she actually is very nice. The whole thing on TV is an act. Like we were at each other's throats when we were taping, and then during the breaks, she was like, "Oh, Bob, that was great. That was a great segment. I love. We got a great thing. Our back and forth, our arguing. This is going to make great, great TV." Yeah. And then the cameras come back on, and she was right into it. Which, you know, I get. You know, play a character, mm-hmm. but the thing is, like, she's playing a character and doing that, and she's talking about people's real lives.
Right.
You know,
feels not very authentic.
And trying to control. Well, mm-hmm. and she's trying to control public opinions about people's lives that are fighting for their freedom, and so to me, that makes it worse. Mm-hmm. But I did. I did have my own little green room. I see my sign over there. I had a little dressing room just for me.
That. Oh, and Robert. That's
yeah,
what
she's
went
from
by.
Colorado, so
oh.
Robert.
No, no. She knew me back in my college days.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why it says Robert on there, but yeah, I've got to meet some amazing people. Like our very first sponsor on the podcast was Sean T, Fitness Guy from Insanity and mm-hmm. T25 and all that.
He's pretty intense.
He's awesome, and he's such a so like the funny thing is like Becky has been like in love with him forever, right? Like that's her guy. Like she lost 35 pounds doing his program. She's been fit ever since. I've stuck with him. Like he was her inspiration to be a beach body coach and all that. For me, I was just like, I don't know, this guy Sean. Like I didn't do any of that stuff. And so we met and it was just like we clicked. Like Sean and I become really good friends. It was kind of cool because I didn't see him as a celebrity.
Right.
I was kind of like, I don't give a shit.
Like mm-hmm. you're literally sitting in front of a picture of you guys like broing out right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
I normally
sit in front of that picture.
I know. So you don't like see it?
I can't really see it.
But now that you see it.
Because I've been relegated to the other side of the table,
I see what a big deal I am now.
Yeah.
My wall of fame behind me.
Yeah.
That was so like that's what ended up like one of the coolest things that I'm really thankful for is like meeting Sean and his husband, Scott. They are just two, talk about positivity, like the two just most positive, amazing guys in the world. And you know, I guess I figured it out. No secret. They're two gay guys that are married and being like, they invited us to their house, during Christmas break. We spent 5 days just hanging at their house in Arizona. Just as like a vacation and got to see them interact together. And it was so cool to see like the type of people they are. So their relationship, whatever you think about that, to me it was just like these like every relationship to be like they honor each other, they mm-hmm. they love each other, they're just respectful, just amazing. They're two guys that we just met I'm so glad to have both of them in my life. I think they and Sean's a guy too. Like when I'm feeling down, like Sean's workouts are awesome. But if you've never heard him speak live, it will bring you to tears. He is the most incredible motivator I have ever heard. I mean, just incredible. I've had bad days where I'm like, yo, like I just need to talk. Like I just need you to tell me why everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And he'll do that. So he's a super cool guy. I've got to meet some, I've got to become, you know, another, listener of the show is John Cryer, you know, Ducky from Pretty in Pink, 2.5 Men. And John and I started communicating and kind of become friends, and I've got to be out in LA and hang out with John a lot. Super, for a guy that is multi millionaire, won one of the biggest shows on television for a long time. You'd never know it. So, you know, there's bad people in the industry, but I've been very lucky to meet some really cool people. John is just a very kind guy, really down to earth. Jim Clemente, who writes Criminal Minds, and just had a brand new TV show came out this weekend. The case of Kaylee Anthony.
That was a fascinating case.
It was.
Side note.
Did you watch the new show? Because I didn't know it came out this weekend and I missed
it. I had it recorded. So I haven't actually watched yet. But I don't watch TV live ever.
Right. I don't either.
I record everything and mm-hmm. then I like binge.
Right.
When I have time. That's another, you can't see me in quotations.
Right.
It's rarely.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I just talked to Jim last night, and he's like, "Did you watch the show this weekend?" I was like, "Crap."
Casually, I just talked to Jim. Yeah.
but I was like, "Crap!" I forgot. It must have
been right after I got a phone with him.
Right.
With Jim.
Yeah.
Right.
Jimbo.
But the coolest thing is like I feel like and obviously I'm totally name dropping. I've been able to meet just incredible people like Jim. Like he's the big deal. He's got the TV show. He was an FBI profiler, which is how mm-hmm. we met, working on a case together. Writer of Criminal Minds, producer of all these TV shows. But like when I know, which I was a huge fan because of that stuff. But I've gotten to know him as a friend, and it's like he's also just a very. I mean, and Mike's got to know him pretty well. Just a caring, supportive guy.
Nice guy.
He has stood up on so many stages and so many public mm-hmm. platforms, and he has his own podcast, Real Crime Profile, which is awesome. I got to be there. Got to be there when they recorded their first episode. But again, that whole competition thing. Like mm-hmm. he's always, you know, any opportunity he has to mm-hmm. tell people to check out our work because he believes in what we're doing. He'll never talk about it, but he brings over orphans from Africa and, you know, like older kids in their teenage years that nobody really wants because mm-hmm. they're not babies, brings them over and sets them up, gives them a place to live, gets them jobs, helps them acclimate. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Never talks about any of that stuff. So I've been very blessed to meet some really, really amazing people to kind of spread that yeah. network, because in a small town that doesn't happen.
Well, I was just going to say that actually. So many people I think that, oh, well, you know, sure, in Chicago you can do all these things, in LA you can do all these things, but you're in Southwest Michigan
mm-hmm.
doing amazing things. So what advice would each of you give to a listener that maybe lives in a smaller town or not like, you know, this big, you know, Silicon Valley type of scenario that has these big dreams?
You're going first.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Well, because what I was going to say is what you told me. Mike mm-hmm. is more insightful than he gives himself credit for.
Yeah, sure.
But we were having some production decisions that we had to make a couple of weeks ago, and where we wanted to go with some projects. And Mike said to me, is like, we need to be doing something that's meaningful, that we can walk away from every day and say that it's meaningful, it's for a purpose. And it is to spread positivity. And my word that Mike doesn't use this word, but I use spreading love and positivity, because Mike doesn't have a soul inside there.
Yeah, it's dark,
right? but so that would be my advice. Is, you know, we have, like I said, been incredibly lucky or blessed, or however you want to look at it. But what it comes down to is we're a couple of just ordinary guys who I'm only the heartthrob.
I'm glad you pluralized it. Yeah. Thank you plural. So much. Thank you.
That was plural intentionally.
That is noted.
Mike really is the heartthrob. He thinks that people, like he has no idea how much at CrimeCon people were like, "Where's Mike? I want to go see Mike. I want Mike in the picture."
So when we go out, they're like, "Does Mike really leave you post-it notes?"
Yeah.
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
I mean, who do we talk about the most?
It's always Mike. He's the heartthrob.
It is appreciated and also awesome whenever I'm editing and I hear you guys talk. Like, I get all of that. I hear all of it. It's great.
But yeah, my advice would be, like, I think good things happen when you're trying to do something for the right reasons mm-hmm. and the right motivation, and you're doing meaningful work. So even if it seems like, I don't care if you're knitting sweaters or whatever it is that your thing is, but do it for a reason and mean it, put everything you got into it. And you just never know. I mean, the world's a small place mm-hmm. now with the internet. You never know what's going to happen. You know, remember, I mean, where we're at now, I had a sick kid and was bored and sat down with a computer and made a little podcast. And now, I don't know if you see a picture of me hanging out with Mark Harmon, no big deal.
I do like NCIS.
That one was a total name drop because I don't know him at all. I met him for a minute and took a picture. Nice guy, though. Seemed like a very nice guy.
And you framed it and put it in your studio.
Of course I did.
Obviously.
Next to the NCIS hat that he gave me that he wore during season 13, no big deal.
Wow. No big deal.
Mic drop.
Yeah. No, he is pretty. But he's no David Caruso on CSI Miami. That's all I'm saying.
That's
true. Nice.
My wife would disagree. She loves her the silver fox. Matter of fact, the reason I have that picture,
I like more of the gingers. David Caruso. I'm
actually shocked. We're about the same age, and you're dropping the David Caruso. Like, I mean, that guy's he's up there.
Please
there.
Say sexy.
I don't want to say it in a bad way. But he's up there. He was up there when he did the CSI thing.
But can you just, okay? You can picture him in the CSI Miami trailer ripping off those Ray-Bans and giving that look.
Yeah.
I know. You knew what I was saying.
I know what you mean.
Men get more distinguished and sexier as they age.
Yeah, there might be something to that.
We're very lucky in that regards. I mean, some of us. Some of us just get fat and old like me.
I thought for a second you were going to say Mike. I thought you were going to say Mike. Like, it would have been hilarious.
Mike. No, I don't think that.
No, but the whole reason I have that picture is only because I got to, because John.
That's pretty cool.
It was awesome. So John Cryer was, he guest stars on NCIS, which I love that show.
I did not know that.
And yeah, he's been on several episodes. And so I was out in LA working and I was talking to John. He's like, hey, you know, I want to see why you're out here. Let's hang out. Come to the set. I can get you on the set of NCIS. And I'm like, that's awesome. And I was there and I was just trying to be like, you know, be a cool guy, you know?
Yeah. You know, you like look totally chill on the picture,
and Becky
right?
said, if you leave there without a picture of Mark Harmon, don't come home. Right. So I had to like...
I knew I liked your wife.
So I had to be like, excuse me, Mr. Harmon.
My wife said that I can't leave unless I come home with
That's exactly what I said to him. And he said, cool, let's take a picture.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
I'm sure he gets that a lot. I mean, look at that face.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about him. Could be an asshole for all I know. But he was nice to me.
I don't think so.
He was nice to me.
I don't think he is.
What are you doing on your phone over there?
I was looking for a review.
Yeah, we always forget about that. Well, you kind of talked about the negative review that we already had, so we kind of covered that.
That'll work.
All right.
So, where can our listeners find out more about you?
Boom. Well, a lot of places.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can look for Truth and Justice with Bob Ruff in any podcast directory or website, truthandjusticepod.com. We're on Twitter at truthjusticepod. We have a Facebook page. We have Instagram now, but that's really at truthjusticepod is kind of my personal Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to see me like in my normal life and not doing like podcast stuff, that's a place to do it. So like, people will go there. Like,
I've been following you.
Yeah. What's going on with the case? Oh, right. There's Bob's kid playing T-ball.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's my life most of the time.
Yeah. Or me running to my car in the rain with no shirt on.
Right.
Just whatever.
Yeah, I think Becky caught you with that one. Or was that me?
That was you.
Yeah.
That was you.
So listeners, Snapchat. It was Snapchat. If you want to see Mike without
a shirt
on.
No.
It's my at Truth Justice Pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all over those places. Social media. We're pretty active on. Mike is a lurker on all the social media.
I am. I'm a devout lurker, though. Yeah. I do it with a purpose.
Well, it's literally.
See, and you and I. Well, maybe even more so. I am a devout publisher.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I document.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to I really got into Snapchat for a little while and I made like a story every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like literally like not write, but like plan out a story. You know, my favorite one, remember when Becky was going out of town for the day and I was supposed to be on a diet? Like, I planned it all day. Like, as she's leaving, I'm like, oh, my wife's leaving for the day. And I made, like, a snap. Like, as she's walking, I'm like, bye, honey. I'll miss you. Can't wait to see you. And then, like, I cut to, I was, like, eating, like, leftover birthday cake and making waffles and, like, eating Taco Bell all day. And then, like, I mocked a phone conversation where I was like, yeah, babe, my stomach hurts. I don't know. You know, I had some, you know, I did my workout and had some, you know, gluten-free... toast. I don't know what's going on. And then like eating ice cream. And yeah, so I used to put but it got to be so exhausting to try to think of that stuff every day.
Snapchat goes away.
Right.
That's the thing. Like,
I still don't use Snapchat.
No.
Well, I apparently it's going away. Like, Insta Stories is the new thing.
So
I've started using Insta Stories.
I'm totally in Insta Stories.
So Snapchat, I only use Snapchat when I'm around certain people because they use Snapchat. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm with my certain girlfriends, then like that's almost like texting.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. I'm too scared to use it.
Instagram is my favorite.
All those naked pictures you're sending around. You're afraid to go to the wrong place.
Like, I don't want to send those to the wrong place. Like,
I had a friend that did that. We won't say her name, but you know who I'm talking about. That meant to snap a naked picture of herself full frontal to her husband and instead hit to her story.
Oh,
and apparently somebody caught it pretty quick and was like, you're naked on Snapchat. And she's like, no, I'm not. She's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Snapchat scares me.
Yep.
Like, because they change their settings and like they update and I don't know. I'm not a huge Snapchat person, personally.
I'm trying to do the Insta stories.
I like Instagram. Instagram is my favorite.
I'm loving Instagram.
But, you know.
But you can also follow us on Hustle and Heels Podcast and on Facebook or HAH Pod on the other channels as well.
Yep.
Yep. So, and matter of fact, my very first Insta story ever was at your guys' live episode.
That's right.
The very first one.
I remember
that's
that.
Nice.
We just got back from Mexico, and I was hanging out with Becky's people, all the Beachbody people, and they were talking about, you know, of course, they live on social media.
It's huge.
And they were constantly telling me, like, dude, you got to get off the Snapchat. You get on the Snap Store or the Insta Stories.
It's like, it's really young kids that are on Snapchat now.
Yeah. Yeah. Insta Stories, more our crowd. Even a little bit younger than you and I. Mr. Bobby Ruff.
We're still cool, though.
We, the coolest. Duh.
So me and Mike are like,
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Yes.
This has been fun.
It has been fun.
Even though we're on the wrong side of the table. It's
really
fine.
Weird. So if I sound different, if I feel off, if I sound off to you listeners, it's because Bobby made me sit in a chair across from him.
Instead of sit in the guest chair.
I sit in the guest chair because that's just the kind of guy he is.
The control in me, it's hard for me to not see what our time is on the computer because I'm monitoring. Yeah,
you don't want to know.
You don't want to know. 1 hour, 26 minutes.
I'm like twitching, like not seeing that.
Yes. But on a serious note, we appreciate you having us here as part of NBI Studios, and we love what we do, and we thank you for supporting us in our mission to uplift women and celebrate all women who are working it. Doesn't matter what they're wearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heels. I did wear some heels today, by the way.
You did. And Kaylee wore duct tape. Can we talk about that real quick before we close? I know we're wrapping
it
up.
Okay, listen.
But Kaylee has duct tape on her feet.
I do. So you all know I run. Okay. I got my shoes are rubbing my toe the wrong way, and Band-Aids don't stick on my feet. Mm-hmm. So duct tape sticks. But listen, I didn't make this shit up. Doctor's orders.
Doctor's orders duct tape.
Yeah, because the duct tape holds Band-Aids.
Okay. Wow.
Mike's like, well, it just it's repulsive.
But I feel like it would be so painful pulling that off.
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
As far as diversity, so we have Stacey
in
her heels.
To be clear,
but I wore heels in some mud today.
You did.
To be clear, I have duct tape on, and I'm wearing fake Birkenstocks from Target, which are the most comfortable shoes ever. So I'm about comfort these days.
She got on some Birks and some duct tape. Mm-hmm. Stacey's got on her heels. Mm-hmm. I've got some tennies on. Mike's got some Skechers. Mm-hmm. I haven't showered in days.
I used dry shampoo today.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. And we hope that you learned some stuff about podcasting and about the gentlemen who are a part of
that's right
of our show. So we appreciate you listening every week. Make sure you are subscribing to our podcast if you haven't already. Share us with your friends, share us with your mamas, with your sisters, with your tribe, and
let's be clear, it's the gentlemen that are a part of our
right. We're
show,
a part of your show,
not the other way around.
You forget because you're not sitting over here.
It's really weird and I'm thrown off.
We'll see you next.
I'm drinking wine and I'm drinking beer I'm not sitting at the right microphone. Weird. And it's all weird to me. It's all weird. So send me some love and tell me that you still love me and then it's okay. Because I need that for my ego.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, hustlers.
Bye. Wait, did we say bye?
No! This is our show! Leave it!
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.